This is a production of Cornell University.
For Cornell University's world-renowned turfgrass program, I'm Frank Rossi.
And I'm Carl Scamenti. And this is episode 20 of Turf Talk, brought to you in partnership with our friends at Winfield United. Turf Talk provides just-in-time, science-based recommendations for professional turfgrass managers in the Northeast U.S. So, Frank, summer seems to continue to hang on here. Why don't you give us the rundown of the weather, what we're going to expect in terms of temperature and precipitation?
Well, you know, Carl, we're coming to the end of August, getting ready for the big Labor Day weekend next weekend, and the weather is still providing a fair amount of heat stress. The heat has returned in force, and there's plenty of moisture in the system. I don't think any of that rainfall, the last several inches over the last several weeks, have gone away yet. There's some drying that's occurring, so the soils are looking a little bit better, and guys are going to get antsy to want to get out there and work them. But, you know, remember, we're 2 to 3 weeks ahead of last year in growing degree days, so a lot more heat in the system, ahead of the 30-year average by about a week, so we're really warm and stressed. The soils are in the 70s, and as I said, there's some drying out that's going to happen and that will allow the soil to work. But with the heat on the way, I would be a little more patient.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, that heat is continuing the pest pressure, right?
Yeah, and the big ones with the heat and humidity are Pythium and brown patch. It's not common to have this Pythium pressure continue so intensely into the Labor Day period, right? So the risks on our models at the forecast website look very high. So if you have susceptible turf, you want to have some controls down. And of course, along the lines of disease that's a little more typical is the fall dollar spot pressure will start to ramp up. So again, a lot of stress in the system, dry conditions for a little bit now. The heavy dews will start this fall, and the fall dollar spot, which is a similar species to the dollar spot that we deal with on a regular basis, sometimes a little bit trickier to control, especially if you rely on thiophanate methyl, not the best product for dollar spot, but it doesn't work very well on the fall dollar spot. And then finally, this fall dollar spot, Carl, acts a little bit like it pits the turf. It becomes what looks a little more virulent. It doesn't stay superficial. It looks like it gets down all the way into the crown a little bit and pits the turf out. So if you have a history of fall dollar spot, certainly the conditions and our model indicate a pretty severe pressure coming. Now, as we talked about last week, the grub scouting, you know, the females are actively laying their eggs, probably have done so with all the moisture in the system and roots available for feeding, that the young grubs are probably actively begun feeding now. So any kind of curative control with parasitic nematodes or any curative chemical you might use, and some of them have some curative, some of the softer products can have some curative effectiveness. You'll want to check and see what you've got. So you want to, you know, look at the population, the age, and identify them to the species. And as you mentioned, Carl, crabgrass is plugging along. And if you're planning on some broadleaf weed control this fall, make sure you time it out, because if you're using dicamba, you're going to need to wait for seeding for a few weeks. So if you want to get the weeds controlled and then seed in, that's one way to go. Or when the heat passes, if you want to do some seeding, you can wait for a mowing and then allow the and then you can make the herbicide application for the weeds after they come up. So lots of pest pressure, lots to talk about, and renovation is one of them.
Yeah, certainly we were talking about the renovation last week. A lot of people, basically Labor Day is the cutoff point. Right after that, they start going in and maybe doing some more heavier core aeration and top dressing. What advice do you have for them going forward, especially because we're still going to have some heat stress here?
That's right. And that's the point right there is, you know, a lot of times, especially in the golf world, you got the date on your calendar when you're doing something and you're going to do it that day, come hell or high water. And I would encourage you to wait out the heat. The keys this week will just be to wait a couple of days for the heat to pass through. Looks like it's going to break late week. The soils will still be dry. It doesn't look like there's a lot of moisture coming through in the next week or two. And be prepared to do some renovation with coring or however else you want to do it after the heat passes through. But while the heat's here, you can start to seed thin areas. If you've got areas that are thinning out, sports turf goal mouths, high traffic areas, pinch points where a lot of people are walking, a lot of maintenance traffic is creating damage. Get the ryegrass seed out there if you're a sports turf manager, and get those areas even top dressed with a rotary spreader. Get some sand and seed on them just to build up that soil so that as the traffic moves the dirt away, you're still preventing it from bowling out, and you've got some seed there to start growing. So the keys to success, Carl, are, I would say, to be a little patient, wait the heat out. And then with the soil, we're in good shape right now for some renovation.
Yeah. And so moving into our sage advice, we're going to talk a little bit kind of about the same topic, fall fertilization in kind of in conjunction with some of that renovation. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So, you know, we've been talking quite a while now. There's a widespread conversation going on in the Twitter sphere as well with regard to clipping volume. A lot of people are monitoring growth, a return to understanding how the plant's growing, and then basing it on that demand. And so that discussion has led a lot of us to think, well, you know, is it wise to be giving, you know, going through this aerification at Labor Day? Is that something you have to be doing? Number one. Number two, should you be putting on a fair amount of N on your fairways and tees and putting surfaces at this time to encourage recovery? And, you know, I think what we've been debating, Carl, and I want to get your thoughts on is, you know, how are we determining how much N the plant needs? Now, clearly, the grasses are growing like crazy. I mean, I don't fertilize my lawn, and I'm mowing it. I could literally mow it every 3 or 4 days. Because there's adequate moisture in the system. There's adequate nitrogen in that organic matter. We look at nitrogen fertilization, we should look at it as supplementing what's there, right? Not just sort of robotically putting it out all the time. What are we learning about how the plants are growing and what we should be fertilizing as we approach this sort of normal heavy dose of N application time?
Yeah, so I've had the chance to work with Dave Hicks at the Cornell Golf Course this year, measuring clipping yield every single day, and what we've learned is clipping yield is so dependent on all these other factors besides fertilizer applications that it doesn't really make sense to plan our fertilizer applications in a regimented way if growth is so variable and dependent on so many other things than fertilizer. Of course, nitrogen fertilization does drive growth, but there's these other things, temperature, the growth potential model, which Micah Woods has worked a little bit with, that we think drives growth to a certain extent. Organic matter levels can contribute to nitrogen mineralization there. And then moisture. I mean, the big wow for us this year has been when we've been in these really wet spells, in particular late July, early August, we saw growth on a daily basis jump fourfold and stay at a fourfold increase for almost a week or week and a half. And previously we knew if you got some rain, you were baling hay, but that extent, that much more growth was very surprising to us. So, you know, planning the fertilizer applications on kind of this regimented basis really doesn't make a whole lot of sense if you're trying to achieve a consistent growth rate. And measuring clipping yield has become that barometer that we can look at and try and manage to instead of simply waiting every 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever you do, to add another shot of nitrogen.
Yeah, it certainly feels that way and looks that way. That how we schedule those nitrogen applications are more routine than need based. But a good, I would imagine, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but a good way of telling that maybe you're not using enough N in some places is the turf thins.
Yep.
Right. I mean, if traffic is exceeding what the plants can do to keep up with the cover, you probably need a little bit more nitrogen in that spot to keep up, or a little bit less growth regulation.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Kreiser from Nebraska recently released one of his educational videos talking about how they're looking at nitrogen in response to traffic. And You know, Doug sold that at Wisconsin is looking at this as well, basically asking the question, should we just use nitrogen to combat thinned traffic stress turf? And so they're using different treatments, different nitrogen rates for different amounts of traffic and whatnot. But essentially, that's becoming the way they want to use nitrogen instead of the more historical way of thinking about it, which is visual and performance based.
Yeah, and then you start to think about it for lawns that mm-hmm. basically only get maintenance traffic. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, should we use nitrogen for color? And we're going to save that for sage advice when we start talking about late right. season nitrogen application later in the year and the yeah. potential water quality concerns mm-hmm. in places like lawns that are primarily just for soil coverage and aesthetics. So there's the sage advice for you, my friend. And it's, I guess you're becoming quite a sage yourself.
Well, I don't know about that. You know, there's a reason I'm the one asking the questions every week. You know, that's why we have you on the show, Frank. And as always, thank you for joining us, providing your wisdom. And thank you to our listeners for listening to our 2018 Turf Talk podcast series, brought to you just in time by Cornell University in partnership with our friends at Winfield United. You can find us online at turf.cals.cornell.edu and on Twitter and Facebook at Cornell Turf. As always, we'd love your feedback and encourage you to join the conversation by leaving a review or comment. For Turf Talk, I'm Carl Scamenti.
And I'm Frank Rossi. Have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.